Hurricane Milton continues to barrel across central Florida at this hour. The storm made landfall as a Category 3 hurricane, slamming into the Barrier Islands near Sarasota. It has weakened to a Category 1, but still causing life-threatening conditions. And there are nearly 3 million power outages across the state. As Milton approached Florida, it spawned more than a dozen tornadoes, including one in St. Lucie County, where at least 2 people were killed.
But as Hurricane Milton bears down on the Sunshine State, Floridians are out of time to run.
Don't try to go out now. Don't try to say, I got to get out of here and get to a shelter, because you will die.
Already, the Sunshine State reported the most tornado warnings in a day on record.
We've seen reports of damage, lots of images of those tornadoes, and some of them have been quite long lasting as well, which is not typical for tornadoes associated with hurricanes.
I am scared to death of some of these storm surge levels. The values are absolutely dangerous and deadly.
As weather officials say, hide from the wind, run from the water.
If you're going to take that kind of risk, then it'd be best to just write your name on your clothing so we can identify you.
The 10,000 square foot red iron structure that was housing all of our high water rescue vehicles and our branded vehicles was hit by a tornado in 50 yards away from where we were, and it completely wiped it out. We were outside pulling out all the as much high water rescue vehicles as we can out of that complete devastation. I'm talking about tens of millions of dollars worth of damage.
Tens of millions there. That was in St. Lucie. That is the sheriff talking about their damaged structure, but billions and billions of dollars of damage we're expecting across the state as the sun has risen and we're starting to see some of the images come in. Joining us now, we have the Escambia County Director of Public Safety. So he's over EMS and fire and emergency response. Eric Gilmore. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you. So we have a team already on location in Levy County. The sheriffs and the police went this morning to, I think, Bradenton. We just got off the phone with Mike Wood a few minutes ago. You obviously are the best informed of all of us. What are you hearing? What are you seeing in terms of what was experienced last night after landfall?
So, oddly enough, I mean, before landfall is where we had the biggest, 150-plus tornado warnings and all the tornadoes that spun up on this thing. Everybody was, the talk yesterday on the calls with the state and everything was tornadoes. And then and you just played the clip. They were unusual tornadoes. You know, we usually get those short, spun-off, quick-run tornadoes.
Yeah, a zero or a one, and then it goes away, yeah.
Yeah. These were long-lasting tornadoes. It did a lot of damage and just unusual tornadic activity with this event. So that was the big thing yesterday on the calls. And then prior to landfall, the storm surge, the water values kept stacking on the West Coast, Sarasota, in that area. And then they got the inundation last night. Of course, we'll have a state call this morning. We'll start hearing it's 10:15 call about what's going to be needed, what they're seeing as far as damage assessments goes. But we will be sending Thor and emergency management team down to Sarasota. They'll start leaving today. I don't know if they'll be able to make the entire trip due to road conditions or anything like that. So we'll get a report about what the roads look like, and they'll get down to Sarasota and set up base operations and start helping out down there. We did have a team that stayed in Levy County and helped that county out throughout the duration of the storm. They were low on staffing levels and needed some help. So Travis Tompkins and Leah Helton went over there and helped them through the storm and rode the storm out. And report last night was they were faring very well. They had the offshore flow in Cedar Key. That's the Cedar Key area they were responsible for. And because of the offshore flow, they weren't seeing the storm surge values go up. So he thinks that they should be demoting today and probably get recasting. They go somewhere even further south to help out for another week. So we'll see what happens there as well. But we, a lot of moving pieces, a lot of things going on. Of course, we opened up the base center in Escambia County for a host shelter as of last night. I hadn't got this morning's count. There was only 7 people in there, but you know what? We offered it up, and who wanted to take advantage of it, they took advantage of it. And 7 people that was in there was actually from the South Florida area. So
okay.
It wasn't just local. So it was actually people from the evacuation zone. So, but what we'll do is we'll get on the state call this morning. We'll get the big picture and start putting pieces together and get people back on their feet.
And you're still the kid they left at home with the lights on to watch the house, right?
Well, right now, I'm sure I'll be tapped to go to Tallahassee. And I know they're the vampire after Helene, after doing that and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I'll be the last time I stayed back because I sent the entire team downrange. So I stayed back. So somebody's got to run that.
Yeah, somebody's got to operate the business. Right. I know.
Right. So,
and you know, you still have other duties like, you know, fire and EMS that, you know, those things don't stop just because there's a hurricane a couple hundred miles away. It was my impression that this storm was weird in a bunch of different ways. It seems like the coming ashore earlier went quite the big problem that we thought it was. What turned out to be weird is on the what you'd normally call the clean side of the storm, the left-hand or north side of the storm, was all this rain and water and even back surge coming up against Jacksonville the morning after. But then on the south side of the storm, it was dry, but all these tornadoes. Like, I've never seen anything like this. This is weird, right?
No, absolutely weird. So it just goes to show you really can't predict these things. We can predict the track, but we can't predict what's going to happen once it gets into the area and what the bands start doing and how it's just, that's what we always say. You can never say this storm's going to be like this storm. No two storms are alike. And this one was, as far as historically as storms go, and you kind of got an idea of what you're facing, but this one was weird, how it kind of fell apart on the back end, all the tornadic activity on the front end, and then the north quadrant got the storm surge. It was a weird storm. It really was, Andrew. So, and I'm sure the meteorologists take it, look at it, break it down, tear it apart, and figure out why it did what it did. Or after Sally, you know, we had Sally do some weird stuff. We had flooding inland. Then we had storm surge on the coast, and we never thought about the water coming out, the water coming in, stacking. So we learned with Sally.
Yeah.
Things that do that. So I'm sure we'll learn on this one as well, what kind of transpired and what happened.
And I know on the dirty side of the storm, it's expected to get tornadoes, but, you know,
yes. You
also typically have rain bands being drawn in, mixing with those tornadoes. And I'm guessing, because I'm super just a civilian, I don't really know anything, but I'm guessing that it was actually the dry maybe made it worse because that allowed a more violent interaction of the winds that produce the tornadoes. Does that seem like right to you?
It seems logical. Absolutely. Because they was talking about that drier air mixing in as it was making landfall coming ashore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was that's the piece that they kept saying is we're going to have that drier air. We're going to have that little bit of wind shearing in there. And the storm was going to downgrade to a Cat 3 at landfall, which it did. And they predicted that, right? So maybe those elements and those pieces that affected the storm and the downgrading is what caused all these spinning up the tornadoes and doing it, because you get all those crosswinds in there.
Yeah. And I just know, like, people probably, you know, I know John had friends who, you know, they evacuated South Miami, 55 tornado warnings in Miami, you know, like the place you thought you could go to be safe turned out not to be. I did want to ask you more for our, what we can learn and, you know, questions that people might have. The one thing that, you know, in thinking about evacuations, and by the way, first of all, can we just make just a fact clarification? In Florida, there is no such thing as a mandatory evacuation. There's a sternly worded evacuation, but there's never a legal requirement to evacuate, right?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay.
An evacuation order is an evacuation. It's not voluntary and it's not mandatory. It is an evacuation order. If we're telling you to evacuate, we have taken all life safety measures or elements and making that decision. And we're telling you, you need to leave that area. If you decide to stay, I'm going to tell you, if you decide to stay, that is on you. I am not going to put first responders in harm's way because you didn't heed the warnings and we were telling you what was going to happen.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. And in fact, we had somebody text in the other day that people who stay ought to have to pay, just like the dumb motorist law driving into water, you know, that you ought to have to pay for the first responders that come and get you in a hurricane or afterwards. I mean, I totally agree with that. What I did want to, and I was thinking about this is, okay, so people evacuated, you know, like from Tampa. And when the storm passes, your first instinct is get back on the road and get back home, protect my stuff, find out the damage and get back to work cleaning. I'm guessing that that's actually not the best practice for a variety of reasons, but how long should you wait? You know, if something happens, when is the right time to get back home?
Right. No, and this is a very good question. So here's the deal. So the first 24 hours, emergency crews are going house to house, and they're doing windshield inspection. They're doing rapid damage assessment. They're doing rapid damage assessment, cutting house to house search, rescue. So that's the first 24 hours. All that is taking place. If you are on the road, clogging up or slowing down them doing their job, because somebody's got to clear the road for you to get back to begin with.
Right.
So the first 24 hours, you're doing that. 48 hours, we're cleaning up what we didn't get. Our crews are coming on the backside. And they're trying to get some of the lines up already because you got low-hanging lines and you got these other things, the trees, low-hanging trees. So we got tree companies in there
with the cut and toss to go in there. Our first cut and toss is one lane. We're open to one lane so emergency service can get through there and do what we need to do. Second day is
by the way, just opening. I know most people know this, but cut and toss just means cutting the tree limbs and things that have gotten in the road and tossing them to the side of the road just to make space to drive through, right? I mean, that's right.
It is a single lane. We're not clearing the road wide open because we're doing a rapid assessment. We're trying to get down range. We're trying to see what the damage is. We're trying to see who needs help. And we're trying to get to you. So that's immediately in the first 24 hours. That's a big part of the operation. You got federal use on the ground. They're trying to get in there as well. We're trying to get a big picture here of what
urban search and rescue teams, right? Go on.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No. And that's trying to make it, you know, there's people who have never been from the people moved here a month ago from somewhere, you know, like, what is this hurricane?
Right.
You know, so. No,
right. So day two is absolutely cleaning things up. The fire crews in there on the backside, they're trying to get the lines up. They're trying to get the lines out of the road, all the hazards up. And the leaning trees that are going to potentially fall in the next couple of days, get those things cleaned up because you don't want what we call widowmakers, those leaning trees on cars or people as they're trying to get into the area. And then the day three, if you could give 3 days, and I know everybody wants to get back. You want to see what your property looks like. You want to get back and try to get it cleaned up and everything, and I understand that. But with all the services and all the emergency stuff going in there and then you on top of it convoluting and you know, getting everybody in there and crowding the area is not helping us get our job done quicker. And if we can get in there quicker and get our job done quicker, we can get you in there quicker so you can get to your property. So about 3 days, you'll hear them say, please don't come to this area after Hurricane Michael. It was huge.
Yeah.
Please stay out. You know, if it was Category 5, if you could stay out at least a week, you know, that lets us move freely. That lets us get in there and get out. And that's what we're trying to do. So life safety is first and foremost important. So we're trying to do life safety as quick as we can. And if everybody's in there, and the looky-loos, those are the ones. It's not the people that are trying to get back. It's all the people trying to see the damage themselves.
Yeah.
Those are the annoying ones. So you don't even live in the area, but you're trying to see what the damage is. Just stay out of the area. Pictures will come out, I promise you. You'll get pictures. And
yeah,
but anyway,
will.
Let us do our job. So.
And I actually I was going to ask you that. Okay. I know that the damaged tourists, you know, the people who are into it for storm porn or whatever, those people are a problem, but I genuinely ask this question because I don't know. Are news people a problem? You know, people who are wanting to stand there and show you how much the wind is blowing on their windbreaker, people who are, you know, wearing a helmet on TV, or people who are, weirdly, the people who are standing where there's nothing happening, I get they're probably not an issue, but do news people contribute to this problem of, you know, public safety and distraction and whatever? What's your opinion about that?
Necessarily, because to be honest with you, we got to use the media to get the message out. Don't come into the area.
Okay.
And there's the reasons why. So no, not necessarily. Now there are those one-off news crews who are just, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to get in the way.
Yeah.
And you know, typically we go say, hey, you're in a hazard area or you're impeding our operation. And they do abide by it and say, oh, yeah, sorry about that. I'm going to get out of the way. Or if we say, can you please go over to this area? You'll be out of the way or out of our operation. But typically, no, not necessarily. I mean, while they're out there, but no, as a whole, I haven't had that much of a problem with news crews and everything. But like I said, we got to use them to get the message out, too. So we're going through you guys to push this message. Please stay out of these areas. You know, the Barrier Islands. We're going to have a checkpoint at the bridge. So
yeah.
If you don't have property there or in the first 24 hours, you don't need to be over there. We're not going to let you over there because we got to get a job done. So those really, really areas with choke points, we'll control those pretty good and keep everybody out who's not necessarily – who just need to go in there because everybody wants to go to the Bear Island after a damage, right?
I gotcha. Yeah, they want to see it. Hey, Eric, before I let you go, just the very last quick thing is I want to get a handle on this EV fires from saltwater intrusion problem. I know the governor has mentioned it and it's kind of come up a few times, but you're a fire guy at heart and you're an EMS guy at heart and you're a, you know, public safety and all this. How big or not big of a problem is that, especially with the ever increasing percentage of EVs? We got the ECATs getting these EV buses and so forth. Tell me about that. I heard you groan when I asked the question.
They are a big problem, Andrew. A lot of people don't realize this. When you get saltwater intrusion into those EVs and it gets into the battery system, those things, while they might not immediately react and catch fire, as they sit there and they start drying out and start corroding some of the systems, they do start spontaneously combusting, which causes house fires. So if you left your EV in a storm surge on the coastline, on the Barrier Island, in your garage and you've got water inundation, there's a good chance that thing's going to catch fire in the next two to three days and burn your house down. I mean, Darren, Ian, that was such a major problem down there in Sanibel Island, Captiva, as their companies were pulling these cars out. They were catching fire on back of the wreckers. And they actually, and putting those things out is a nightmare because it takes a copious amount of water to put those things out. They started just digging holes and burying them to stop them from burning. It was just that big of a deal. So if you have an electric vehicle, please help us out by getting it out of the storm surge. That way we don't have those to contend with as well. So get those out of those storm surge areas.
Okay. No, I'll burying them to stop the flames. That's amazing. And as you say, on a delay a couple of days later, too. Eric Gilmore, Director of Public Safety, always great information. Thanks so much for doing what you do. Please convey our appreciation to your folks who have gone downrange and be safe when you go as well. Eric, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.